That's a good message, isn't it? Amen. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ, and you are made new. And please don't allow the evil one, Satan, to tell you that you can't change, whether you're 18 today or 108. God still desires to do a work in you so that you will be more and more like Jesus Christ, that he will use you. It doesn't matter if you come to Christ and the cross. Your past doesn't matter. It's where God wants to take you in the future. Amen, church? Amen. That's why we're here. All of us, sinners saved by God's amazing grace. We all stand at the foot of the cross on equal ground. Sinners saved by God's amazing grace. And as we start this new series about building great relationships, please do not say, this is the way I've been, this is the way I will always be. God every day wants to make you more and more like Jesus Christ. His power is unfathomable. You can't plumb the depths of God's power to change you. The question is your heart ready to change? And if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's ready. It's ready to be changed. Let's have a word of prayer as we open up the Word of God together and talk about building great relationships. God, thank you that we are not handcuffed and chained by our past, but we have been set free by your power and your sacrifice on the cross to have a future and a hope. And you desire to change us, God. May we enter into that process willingly. God, as you change us. Jesus, we want to be like you. Lord, you said, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. Lord, we're humbled by that. You're here right now. And we're here to worship you with hearts that are filled with love and gratitude for you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be in a series entitled Building Great Relationships. And as you know, that's what God wants you to have. He wants you to have great relationships. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it, what? In a mediocre way. Is that what he said? In an average kind of way. No, he said that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. God desires for you to have great relationships. But so often it doesn't happen because the foundation of our lives is not correct. It's not right. And today I want to talk about this, inspecting the foundation. For us to look at the very foundation of our lives and ask ourselves, am I building on the right foundation? If you're not, folks, you will never experience the abundant life that Jesus promised. It won't happen. If you're not building on the right foundation of God, you won't have the great relationships that God desires for you to have. So often people aren't. That's why the Bible says in the Old Testament that your good works are like filthy rags to God. Why? Because you're not doing it for the right reason. If you're not in relationship with God, you're not doing those things for the right reason. Apart from God, our good works are like filthy rags because ultimately our lives are all about glorifying God and lifting Him up and living our lives for Him. Every good thing we do for our spouse, every good thing we do for our friends and those around us, every good thing we do for strangers that we've never met before, we do for the glory of God. We do it in His name. So my desire would be that all of us who are brothers and sisters in Christ, this family of God that meets here in Bonzel every Sunday, that we would say, God, I desire to live a life that glorifies you and to have the great relationships that you desire for me to have and to inspect the foundation of my life and what I am building on. Almost 25 years ago, I was married in Germany. This September will be 25 years. I made the second best decision of my life. The first was to put my faith in Christ, right? The second was to marry this woman who is way too good for me. And we did it in Germany, and it was just a great ceremony. I didn't understand a word I was saying, or what they were saying, but I knew I was doing the right thing, committing my life to this amazing woman. Then after that, I did what every big spender would do. I wanted to have a big honeymoon, so I rented a VW Rabbit. Big time spender, right? This little economy car I rented. And we decided we were going to drive through Europe. We had no idea where we were going to stop, what hotel we were going to stay at. We were just going to make this an adventure. And the beginning of the trip is amazing. Why? Because we're driving in Germany on the Autobahn, and the Autobahn has no what? Speed limit, exactly. Now, there are those of you here in the church that drive on highways in America like there's no speed limit. But this I could do legally. I could drive as fast as I wanted, and the police had no power over me. It was amazing. Now, the VW Rabbit could only reach 60 miles an hour, but it was fantastic. I could do without any fear of being stopped. It was amazing. We eventually went to Italy and to Rome, and we wanted to see one building that we'd heard so much about, but both of us had never seen live. It was called the Leaning Tower of Pisa, exactly. The Leaning Tower of Pisa. Let me tell you a little bit about that tower. Built in 1173 AD. The architect's name, I love this name, Bonanno Pisano. I love the name of that architect. I want to hire him. The building was completed in 1350 AD, standing 8 stories tall. Here's the problem. At the very top, it leans 18 feet off pure vertical. 18-foot lean. Why? Because it was built on a bad foundation. In fact, when we were there, we couldn't go up in the building because they were doing major renovations to try to keep it from collapsing. It was built on a bad foundation. And over the years, they had to work hard to try to restore it. And we all know how important it is to build on a right foundation. If you're going to buy a house, and I've done this a couple times in my life, if you're going to buy a house and you go to the house and you see there's a broken window, that can be fixed easily. You see there's a dirty carpet, that can be fixed easily. The garbage disposal is not working, that can be fixed easily. But if the home inspector says there's a major problem in the foundation, you walk away, right? You don't buy it. So many of us, as we're building relationships, are building on the wrong foundation. Or we're building on a foundation that's cracked and broken, and we need to have it restored. Because you will never do relationships the way God intended if you're not connected with the God who created you. And you're building on that foundation. The Bible says there is only one foundation on which you can build. The rest is shifting sand. That one foundation is the rock of Jesus Christ. You may wonder, Mel, why do I have problems with my marriage? And I'm not motivated to do it God's way. You're not building on the right foundation, or you're not connected with the God who created you. Mel, why do I have all these problems? And I'm just not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus promised. Because you're not building on the right foundation. You're not connected with the God that made you and has a plan for your life. Here's the bottom line of our talk. Our relationships, like buildings, must be built on the right foundation in order to experience friendships and marriages that reflect God's perfect plan. My desire is in this series that we can take these principles and apply it to our friendships. If you're not married today, these principles will apply to your friendships that you have, your work relationships, those that you have never met before but meet one day, and you desire to demonstrate the reality of Jesus Christ inside of you. Take these principles and live them out. If you're in a marriage today, in a family, you can take these principles and apply them to your marriage and allow God's truth to permeate your life. We may say, well, Mel, I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to live according to God's truth, the way I find it in the Word of God. But the other person at the workplace isn't. That other person is really selfish and mean and vengeful, and as much as I try to live for Christ, this other person doesn't. Well, the Bible talks about that. Paul wrote these words in Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on whom? On you. Live peaceably with all. So much as it depends on you. See, we should never allow our actions and attitudes to be dictated by the actions and attitudes of others. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, well, what credit do you have if you love those who love you? Even the pagans do that. They love those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you. See, God calls us to live the principles of His Word when it's difficult. If you have a spouse that's not living according to the Word of God, you should not allow the actions of your spouse to dictate how you respond. As much as it depends on you, you determine in your heart, yes, God, I believe in your wisdom and I will follow it. If you do that, you're doing what God has called you to do, to live the Christian life, not just when it's easy, but when it's hard and difficult. And that happens. It happens again and again. See, we've been called to live in relationship with others. We're to do that on the foundation of a connected relationship, a vibrant relationship with the living God of this universe. And we know beyond all shadow of a doubt that we're doing this to glorify God, because we love Him with our entire heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's our motivation. Hey, Mel, have you ever had problems in your marriage? Of course. Have there been times when you just want to say, like, okay, she's mean to me, I'm going to be mean to her and get even and get back? Of course. I'm sure she has felt that with me when I've disappointed her. But what drives us back to do things the way that God intended is this bottom line foundational reality and conviction. God, I'm your child. Got to do it your way. Have no other choice. I'm a follower of yours. And even though my flesh tells me to get even, even though my flesh tells me to get back or to pull away and punish my spouse for what's happening, God tells me to come back in and show love and to show forgiveness and for her to do the same towards me when I blow it. Because we're committed to God. We're followers of Jesus Christ. He's the one that controls us. We're sitting in the back seat and God is at the controls. We're saying, God, we want to do it your way. As much as it depends on me, live peaceably with all. I will not allow the bad actions or attitudes of others to dictate to me that I will disobey God. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. It's real easy to find. First book in the Bible, right? Genesis and the second chapter comes right after the what chapter? The first chapter, exactly. Genesis 2, verse 18. God created Adam. Sinless, but with the freedom to choose, right? Sinless, but with the freedom to choose. But Adam had a job to do in the Garden of Eden. It was a perfect utopia, the only utopia this world has ever known. Genesis 2, besides Norway, of course, but Genesis 2:18, it says this. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Verse 19. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. Can you get the scene of what's happening in this perfect utopia? Adam, who was created with amazing intelligence, was told by God, you're going to name the animals. So the animals come before him. Hey, that's an elephant. And that's what the name was. That's a giraffe. That's the name. That's a rhinoceros. But it's Adam's name in the animals. That's an elephant, but not like me. That's a giraffe, but it's not like me. That's a rhinoceros, but it's not like me. So that's what it says. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, because God knew it's not good for the man to be alone. And while he slept, took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, you can almost sense the relief of Adam. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. In the expanded Hebrew version, he said, Hava, Hava. I like what I see. She's like me. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, and listen to this relational command. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother. That's the primary relationship of every person that's born into this world to their parents. But they're going to leave that relationship and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Here's the reality. God created you to build great relationships. I stayed away from the word have, because I want us to know for sure that to have a great relationship, it means you have to build it. It takes work. It doesn't automatically happen. But you were commanded by God to be in relationships. It's not good for you to be alone. You were commanded to have relationships and to build great relationships. Zephaniah 3:17 is a verse that I put in here because it highlights the primary relationship we're to have with God. And I love how God rejoices over us. We sang about it this morning that God sings over us. He rejoices in us. Zephaniah 3:17, he sings over us in joy. That's how much he desires a relationship with us. Not because he needs it. God doesn't need anything. But when he created us, he knew the best thing for us would be to be in relationship with the God that created us. To know for sure that we are not here by some biological accident that occurred 15 billion years ago. We're not the product of some evolutionary process that has no direction. We are here because we are the special creation of God. And God stamped his image upon you. And he knows for sure that it's not good for people to be alone. And sadly, over the years, I've met people who say, oh, you know, I've given up on the church thing. I'm pulling away. I'm not going to go to church anymore. You know, it's those times when you feel that. When you feel like, I don't want to worship this morning. It's those times when we need it all the more. I would challenge you to remember the words of Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because we need to be in relationship with one another for us to experience the life and the church that God intended for us to have. Peter wrote this, that the devil prowls around like a roaring what? Roaring lion. Have you ever watched those Discovery Channels programs of lions? You know, lions are just having a good time, right? They're just laying around, having a good time. And all of a sudden, these dumb antelope come like running right in front of them, pouncing around the plains of Africa. You know, they're just having a good time. And the lions are just sitting there looking at these antelope and thinking, which one am I going to have for lunch? And in Discovery Channel, they would say, and often the lion will identify the one that's what? A little weaker or separated from the rest of the herd. And the lion will focus on that one that's separated from the rest of the herd. And it'll be that one the lion will go after and start to run after that one antelope that's separated from everybody else, isolate it and destroy it. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And I want to challenge you when it comes to relationships with others that first and foremost, you build this amazing relationship with God. And as you do that, you realize you're part of the body of Christ, his church, to be in relationship with other imperfect people like me who fall and sin. But God's grace is amazing and he wants to lift us up and bring us back into a right relationship with him so that we can experience life like he meant for it to be experienced. Not because everything is easy. Sometimes it's because things are really hard, but we know God is still at work in our lives, changing us and molding us and shaping us to be like him. It's all part of his plan. And we rejoice in the fact not that we have trials or tribulations, but that God is working in those trials and tribulations to make us more like him. That's his plan. We are created by God to build great relationships. To build great relationships. See, the creation of man in the beginning highlights our need for relationships. It was not good for the man to be alone. It's not good for any of us to be alone. It's not good for any of us to pull away from others that are meant to build us up and encourage us like the body of Christ is meant to do. And my hope and prayer is would be that every time you come into Riverview Church, every Sunday or if it's a Bible study during the week, that you would come in not only expecting God to work in your heart and life, but to connect with others in a way that you can build them up and encourage them as they build you up and encourage you. Because that's what a church is all about. That's what makes a church radically different. And God has given us an amazing fellowship here at Riverview Church. Of people that love God and realize their imperfections and realize that people around them are imperfect as well. But we're all here to build one another up and encourage one another and to strengthen one another and to rally around one another when we fall and when we blow it. Because we're part of the body of Christ. The creation of man highlights our need for relationships. We're not to be alone. So I move down the history of God working in his people. The Ten Commandments also a powerful reminder of our need for relationships. The Ten Commandments focus on healthy relationships vertically, me with God, and horizontally, me with others. In fact, let me show you this chart. You have it in your notes. The first four commandments, you shall have no other God before me. God is number one. There are no other gods competing with our love for God. Nothing we love more than God. Nothing even comes close to our love for God. Commandment number one. It's all about connecting with God vertically. And the first four commandments deal with that. Our connection with God vertically. See, it reminds us of the primary need for us to make sure that's happening. So that the next six commandments can be lived out in a way that honors God, that our horizontal relationships with others reflect our reality of our relationship with God, the Father. Let me kind of highlight what these commandments are really all about. If you kind of summarize each one, like for example, you shall have no other gods before me. To be right with God, to build on the right relationship of God, to know exactly why in a marriage you forgive your spouse, to know exactly why in a friendship you don't get revenge on someone that wrongs you, because you are right with God and your desire is to reflect God in everything that you do. And you do it with joy because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Hey, Jesus, you went all the way to the cross for me. It's no big deal for me to forgive someone who's wronged me. I want to be right with you. I have no other gods in my life that compete with you. Understanding worship. That we worship God. And when we come together, we know why we're here. That we're understanding what it means to worship God and lift him up. And rejoice in the God that laid down his life for us. Prioritizing your faith. Making it the number one concern of your life. That this is what I will be sure to cultivate in my life is my faith in God. Because that will be the thing that motivates every other thing that I do. To manage my time well. The commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now you know the Sabbath day was the seventh day of the week. It's a Saturday. We don't meet on Saturday. We meet on Sundays. Now some people do meet on Saturdays. It's fine. But we meet on Sundays. Why? People ask me, why do we meet on Sunday and not on Saturday, the Sabbath? Well, because in the New Testament church, in the book of Acts, the new church, the church that was born in the book of Acts, began to meet on the first day of the week to celebrate the what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they began to meet on the first day of the week. That's why we meet on Sunday. As an ongoing celebration of the most amazing event in human history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we manage our time and we make sure that we keep the Sabbath principle. That we make time for our worship of God. That in our schedule we don't get so busy that we say, I don't have time for God. Can you? Why? I got to go to church one day a week. Are you kidding me? See, that's not abiding by the Sabbath principle. To make sure that we're making time for God. And we're doing it out of love for him and out of joy, not out of obligation. Because we love God. Here's the next thing. Handling authority. Honor your father and your mother. All about how do you relate to authority. It's a real important part of having healthy horizontal relationships. Here's another aspect. Controlling my emotions. Thou shalt not murder. What does murder come from? Someone whose emotions are out of control. I need to control my emotions to have healthy relationships with others. Here's the next commandment. Pursuing relational purity. Not committing adultery, but making my relationships pure according to God's plan. Here's another one. Living with integrity. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to bear false witness. That leads to destroyed relationships. I'm going to live with integrity. Here's the next one. Being truthful in everything that I do. Being sure that I reflect the truthfulness of God. and then finding contentment in what I have. I'm not going to covet my neighbor's things and be jealous of every success that he or she gets. I'm going to find contentment in what God has given me and the place that I have in my life and to use it to glorify God. See, all of these principles, all of these commandments deal with two aspects of our lives that are very important. My vertical relationship with God and my horizontal relationship with others. And the Ten Commandments highlight both of those types of relationships. Here's the next thing we need to be reminded of. The two great commandments correspond to essential relational priorities. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus? And you all know what he said. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's all about the vertical. It's this wonderful affirmation. I tell people, you know what, if you really want to simplify the Word of God, it's not about 10 don'ts. It's about two do's. Do these two things. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you do, you're not going to have an idol competing with God. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're going to make sure there's time to worship God. You're not going to have idols in your life. You're not going to have any other gods before you. Because you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Maybe not perfectly, but your desire is to grow in your love for God every day. And the second commandment, Jesus said, is like it. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the horizontal component. And we highlight both of those wonderful affirmations on our bulletins every week. A passion for loving God and a passion for loving others. May that be lived out here at Riverview Church. May we be a church that says, man, we want to have a passion to love God, the right foundation in our lives. And from that foundation, live in this church in such a way that we have a passion for loving others. Not because they're perfect, but because God's at work in all of our lives. We're a community of believers here to strengthen one another and use our various gifts and abilities to serve one another and in so doing, serve Christ as He's called us to do. Here's another thing I wanted to remind you of as we think about the horizontal and vertical relationships that we have. It's this, the one another emphasis of the New Testament reveals God's design for relationships. I was reading this week one scholar who said that 44% of the content of New Testament letters, of the New Testament books, the letters that were written, 44% of the content of those books is all about our relationship with one another. 44%. He compared that to the fact that it's spiritual gifts, for example. Only 4% of the New Testament letters, epistles, talk about spiritual gifts. 44% talk about how we relate to one another. Does that give us an idea of how important it is to God when it comes to our relationships with one another and how we live them? The word allelon is the word one another in the New Testament. And it is the word that occurs 59 times and talks about aspects like this. Love one another, John 13. Bear with one another, Colossians 3. Teach one another, Colossians 3. Comfort one another, 1 Thessalonians 4. Encourage one another, Hebrews 3. Stir up one another to love and good works, Hebrews 10. Show hospitality to one another, 1 Peter 4. Employ the gifts that you have been given for the benefit of one another, 1 Peter 4. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, 1 Peter 5. Pray for one another, James 5. Confess your faults one to another, James 3. Criticize one another. Hesitations chapter 12. Does it say that in the Bible? No. Put down one another. It doesn't say that either. Get revenge on one another. No, see, God's really concerned about how we relate to one another in a way that reflects Him. Here's a verse that you surely have heard before. Jesus said this, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples by the theology that you have. Doesn't say that, right? You know, theology is very important. What God is looking for, what will really show that we are His disciples, if you have love for one another. The way God emphasizes one another relationships in the New Testament gives us a look into the passion God has for us to have unity in the fellowship of this body. Not that we always agree about every little thing, but we agree about the essentials of our faith. And in our fellowship together, there is a plan that God has given us about how we relate to one another and how we demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ. God stated this even in the Old Testament when he chose the Israelites. I love what he said in Deuteronomy. He said, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people, just like he chose us for his, this is it, treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you are the fewest of all peoples." God has chosen us. We don't fully understand it, but you are part of the chosen people of God, part of the body of Christ, and he considers you his treasured possession. And our calling is in that relationship that we have with God, this unconditional God love that God pours out upon us, that we would in turn love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. You were created to be in great relationships and to build great relationships that reflect your relationship with God. Here's the second thing I want you to know. Your relationship with God is foundational to all other relationships. If you want to have a healthy relationship with friends in your life, the best chance for you to do that, as much as it depends on you, right? Because there are people that as much as you try to have a great relationship with them, they don't want it. They're not following God's word. But as much as it depends on you, build those relationships on a healthy foundation with God. If you don't have that, then you won't have the motivation when there are problems in marriage to say, "Ah, gotta forgive. Gotta get back in there and work on my marriage. Gotta get back in there and work on this friendship and make sure that I demonstrate the unconditional love of God in my marriage, in my friendships, in every relationship I have. And I will not allow the bad attitudes or actions of others to keep me from obeying God and doing what he tells me to do." And it all is driven from a great relationship with God, an eternal reality that you have. God, I love you. And I'm building my life on that foundation. When I was a freshman in college, I bought my first car for my brother. I bought it for $700. It was a 1967 Mustang Fastback GTA. Inverted hood scoops. Man, it was just a really cool car. Except it had a lot of rust in the rear quarter panels and along the sideboards of the car. A lot of rust on the body. It was really rusting out. But the car was cool. I loved it. Here was the other problem it had. It had major engine problems. But my shock absorbers would squeak big time. I became a youth pastor when I was going to college. And my kids would say, "Man, we can hear you a block away with that squeaky old car you have." But it was cool. I loved it. And one of the kids in my youth group, his dad had an auto body shop. He said, "Mel, bring that car over. I'll take care of the quarter panels and take all the rust out for you. I'll give you a good price. Man, you got to fix that thing up." And I was like, "I don't have the money to. And I'll give you a good price." I'm like, "Okay." So I brought it over and he took care of it. I couldn't believe when I walked up and I saw it. I had the nice wheels on and everything. This is what it looked like. Just like that. It's aqua blue Mustang. I had to sell it to buy my first house. Biggest mistake I ever made in my life. That was it, man. This beautiful car. It looked so good. But the problem was, even though it looked good on the outside, it still had the same engine problems. I had a major problem happen with the engine. The whole car broke down. It looked good on the outside, but the engine was failing. So many of us at times look good on the outside, but if you really look in our heart, we don't have the relationship with God that needs to drive our healthy relationships with one another. Are you building your life on the right foundation? Or do you look good on the inside, but you know in your heart you're far from God and you need to grow closer and deeper and stronger with Him in order to have the best chance of having healthy, awesome, great relationships that you can build in your life? And your motivation is because, God, I want to glorify You. I want my friendships to glorify You, God. I want people to somehow see the good works in me and glorify my Father who is in heaven. I want people to look at my marriage and say, wow, they're imperfect people, but they're having a great marriage. Because both of them are growing closer and deeper and stronger with God. Are you building on the right foundation today? Is that happening in your life? Or have you been status quo for months, maybe years? This is a new year, folks, 2015. And I know some of you have probably made New Year's resolutions that have already been broken. But make this resolution this year. I will not live status quo as a believer in Jesus Christ for another day. I will commit to doing what it takes to grow closer to God, deeper with God, stronger in my walk with Him. And I know I need to do it, and I've been putting it off. I'll make God my master. I like what Peter Forsyth said, a Christian author. The first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master. First duty we have is not to say, I want to get my freedom. Instead to say, God, I want to find You as my master. I will grow deeper and stronger in my relationship with You and closer because You're the God who created me and knows what's best for me. And my desire is to glorify You because of what You've done for me. Because so often in relationships, if there's something wrong in the horizontal between me and others, there's this break in that relationship. Now that happens occasionally. And people say, okay, I got to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to fix it as soon as I can. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Make it right. But if there's an ongoing problem between me and others, and it keeps going on, then I want to tell you, there is a problem in the vertical. If there's an ongoing problem with me and someone else that I refuse to deal with, then I will tell you with all certainty, there is a problem in the vertical. And until you make that problem right, then your relationship with God will feel distant. You need to make it right with Him. Say, God, I submit to Your will. And I will go back to this brother or sister, my spouse, my friend, and I will humble myself and seek forgiveness and restoration. In Luke chapter 6, it talks about two builders. I don't have time to get into it right now, but two builders. One builds on the sand, one builds on the rock. The rock is all about this, living according to the principles of Jesus Christ. Are you building your life on the rock? Shifting sand, rejecting the teachings of Christ. I want to tell you today, your wisest decision is to grow closer, deeper, and stronger with God today. See, so often in our culture, we worship our work, we work at our play, we play at worship. But God desires for us to do this, to worship when we come to worship Him, to play at play, knowing that we have times of rest, and to work at work in such a way that honors Him. That's the kind of life we're to lead. So as you leave today, a few now ones. Here it is. Build on the foundation of faith and obedience to Jesus Christ. Can you build on that foundation? From this day forward, here's the next thing. Humbly identify specific ways in which you can be more Christ-like in your relationships. Third thing, this. Gain a new sense of the presence of God in your life. He's there every day. And resolve in 2015 that God is there. I will grow closer, deeper, and stronger in 2015. And I'll allow God to do that in my life. Amen, church? Amen. Let's bow our hearts in prayer before God. As your head's bowed, no more excuses. New year. Remember what Jesus did for you and the calling that He gives you to love Him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the abundant life that Jesus is talking about. So, Lord, we lift You up. You are, Lord, our everlasting God. May we be building our life on this amazing relationship that we have with You. May that be the motivation we have to build great relationships horizontally in our lives, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name.